Jimmy Koplik is on, and we are all celebrating with him the 49th anniversary of Watkins Glen. On this day, in 1973, the Grateful Dead, the Allman Brothers, and the band played at Watkins Glen Speedway, Watkins Glen, New York, and it is one of the most famous rock concerts in the country. And this guy right here is behind it. Good morning, Jimmy.
And the interesting part of it is, well, there's a lot of interesting parts of it, but it was sort of like an epiphany when it happened. In July of 72, we had the Dead at Dillon Stadium in Hartford. And if I remember correctly, J-Mo, Barry Oakley, and Dickie Betts came up and played that day in a jam with the Dead. And I love both bands musically, and I was out there marveling at their, I think they did Johnny B. Goode, and how great the show was. And I remember going over to Shelley and saying, we should try to put these two guys together, these two bands together. It would really be great. And that really started the whole concept of, okay, we're going to put them together. What do we do with them? And in 1972, I was 22 years old, so I really was stupid and Shelley was 27, and we were really saying, okay, what can we do? And we had this grand idea of finding a place to do a festival, which we were completely incapable of doing in all reality. And we were too young and too inexperienced to try to pull it off.
Did you look at any Connecticut places?
Well, we thought of Powder Ridge first, because Powder Ridge had not happened a few years earlier, but we went to the town and of Middlefield, and they did not want us even near the place.
Okay. I've heard that before.
So, yeah, there was no doubt we weren't going there. So we decided we wanted to do it somewhere nearby, and we thought of a car racetrack. Where can 100,000 people go? And the closest really venue that we thought of was Watkins Glen, and we went right to Watkins Glen.
And you were a few years off of Woodstock. Did you think about that site?
No, we'd never thought about it, because I thought that the Woodstock experience was one that we didn't want to recreate, which was a lot of traffic, which, by the way, we did recreate, and a lot of mess up there, which we did recreate.
Yep.
And
we didn't want to recreate it, though. It just happened.
A lot of people snuck in there because it was, you know, a big open farm, and we thought we could put it in a racetrack. But we ended up putting it in a big parking lot in a big field, so a lot of people did sneak in. And so everything we planned on correcting, we didn't correct.
However,
but you guys
tried. Did make money.
Yes.
That's the one thing. We actually did make money. We were the first festival to actually show a profit.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I'll tell you something. I don't consider it a festival. I consider it a concert. Everybody considers it a festival because it was so big, but we only had three acts on one stage.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, we had three acts that play a long time, so it was an 11-hour concert. But nonetheless, it really was just three acts on one stage. It was a concert. It was one day. It wasn't, you know, there's nothing that made it a festival other than the attendance itself.
Was that a Saturday, a Sunday?
It was a Saturday.
Nice. Saturday.
Yes, it was Saturday.
I was just talking to my dear friend Laura Henney a couple of weeks ago, and she was a teenager, and you know, her parents said, don't you go, and she got in this small, like, sports car, you know, tiny, it could fit like two people, and it packed four people in there and gear, and they got close, and then the highway just stopped. That was it. The highway became a parking lot. Then okay, let's hike it.
They hiked up and camped out in yards.
Nice.
The state police actually shut down the New York State Thruway, and I remember looking at Shelley and go, well, now we're going to have to refund everybody their money back. We're out of business. I might have to go back to law school, I was thinking.
I'll go back to law school. No. So there was this drama as this is all unfolding.
Right.
The state
Our
police
future.
Shut down the highway.
Yeah, right.
You're thinking, this is going to be a financial ruin.
I got to go back to school.
Yes.
No.
You know something about Jimmy, though? He was planning right then his next move.
Exactly right. Most folks were like, what am I going to do?
I might have to go and be a lawyer. This could be it.
Yeah,
so plan B.
Right. Always have a plan B.
I always have plan B. I am a planner. I annoy people over it, but I am a planner. I can't help it. It's something in my brain that does that. I can't help it.
It's a good quality.
Seriously, yeah.
Do you remember what you paid for those three bands?
Oh, sure. In fact, I still have the
receipt.
The contracts. I still have
really?
The contract.
Nice.
The Allman Brothers actually have the contract in the Dead. I paid $110,000 for the Allman Brothers, $110,000 for the Dead, and $75,000 for the band. And we were going to have Leon Russell on the show, but Jerry Garcia did not want Leon Russell on the show. He wanted the band because he felt that was their home upstate New York. So we had to give Leon Russell $37,500 to not show up.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I cannot show up for half that.
So the Dead are the first band. The Dead are the first band on the stage, and instead of having the 150,000 people that we promised them, there were 600,000 people in front, and the manager, a fellow by the name of Sam Cutler, comes up and says, "We're not taking the stage. You have more people here. We want a bonus."
Oh.
And I said, "But they're not paid. I didn't get the money from these people. They snuck in." He said, "I don't care. When we play in front of 600,000 people, we get more money." So I said, "Well, what are you looking for?" He said, "We're looking for another $25,000. I said, "This is 1973. I said, "Where am I going to get $25,000 from? I
seriously mean,
I don't. And it's
you're 22.
Be cash.
That's the price of a house back then.
Yeah, back then it's a house.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. You're right. And so I sent. I had a bunch of helicopters up there. I sent our ticket guy from Connecticut back to Connecticut in a helicopter, and he drove around to all the ticket outlets and collected 20s and 10s and 5s and got $25,000 and flew back up in time before the set ended because I had promised I had signed a promissory note that I would pay him the $25,000. And by the end of the set, we dumped a paper bag of $25,000 on a table and gave it to the Dead.
Wow.
And I said, "Please keep it a secret. I don't want the other artists to know it." And of course, you know, everybody's, you know, coke or talking like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Lips are flapping.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable.
Lips are flapping.
Of course, the band never found out, but the Allman Brothers found out. So I had to get another $25,000.
Hey, Jimmy, back in the helicopter you go.
I was going to say,
I was out of money. I didn't have any more money. So I signed a promissory note to the Allman Brothers. I would pay them $25,000. And 2 days later, I sent them a wire for $25,000. But they found out. So it was, I was held basically at gunpoint by these artists to make sure that I paid them more money. Otherwise, they weren't going to go on stage.
What was the ticket price back then?
$10.
$10. Wow. All that for $10.
$10.
That's great.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Damn.
$10.
Yeah. A lot of tickets.
just the historic nature of these bands now.
Yeah.
Especially you can't get any of them now.
No.
You know?
And we had no idea what we were doing. I mean, nobody had any idea what we were doing. The backstage was a nudist colony, basically.
Right.
Everybody was running around naked. Not me, because I was working.
Right,
but
you needed your pockets.
Exactly right.
Carry money.
Where are you going to put your wallet?
But at one time, I'm looking at Shelley, who I'm going to go see later today. I'm going to go visit Shelley.
Oh, cool.
We try to get together every July 28th.
Nice.
So I said, "Shelley, I think we're the only two people with clothes on right now looking backstage." Everybody was young, so everybody looked great, but, you know. God forbid we all did that now. We'd be turning everybody would leave backstage.
There's a lot of slapping sounds. Sound like applause. No, it's my ass cheeks.
so it was really, and then we had a nudist pool.
So did you see Jerry Garcia naked? Did you see Bob Weir naked?
No, none of the bands. All the groupies were naked.
Oh, right. Okay.
Naked. It was
that's
mostly
right.
Women.
That was the passive security. Right.
Yeah. I heard a story that a parachuter hit a tower and was electrocuted.
Ooh.
Someone tried to parachute into.
It's not quite the story. There was a parachuter that decided he was going to parachute in. He wore shoes that had flames coming out the back.
Oh.
And he's parachuting down, and the fellow did not realize that as you go down, the flames go up.
Oh.
And the parachute caught on fire.
Was his name Wile E. Coyote? He was after a roadrunner.
Wow, that's the guy who didn't think that stunt out.
So how hard did he plummet?
What happened?
It was ugly.
Oh.
It was ugly. He came crashing down.
Right.
And by the time he got down, he had burnt up anyway.
And that's where Sherm's shot down in flames came from.
So does this delay the concert? Where did it happen during someone's set?
Right.
It happened between the band and the Allman Brothers set.
Yeah.
Happened. It was so nobody was watching the stage. Everybody was watching this goofball.
Yeah. On paper, it looked good, probably.
Yeah, I'll have flames coming out my shoes.
Right, I'm going to look amazed.
Man, I'm going to be a hero.
All the naked girls come towards me.
All right.
Yep, yep.
Holy well, the police God. First came to us thinking that it was a stunt that we pulled, and they wanted to arrest us.
Yes.
Saying, okay, you caused the death of this man.
Right, yeah.
And I said, I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know what this guy's about.
He's just an asshole.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Jimmy, that was the best memory of life. I was 17 years old with two friends. We went to the Can-Am car races the week before, had Pennzoil oil banners out. And then we went over to the venue for the concert, and the state police told us to go way in the back where the camping was to be started. We waited till they turned their back, and we literally pulled trees out of the way to weasel this van into the woods. Just above the open area where the concert was going to unfold. There were two other campsites. We watched the whole thing unfold in front of us.
Oh, that's great.
The entire week. It was absolutely awesome.
So you pay $10 or what?
You know, you could Google this. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Rick.
There are pictures of cars that were left there. They're still out in the woods, classic cars.
I want to go find them and bring them home.
Yeah.
I need a trailer.
Did you find a news report, Phil?
Yeah. So interestingly, Jimmy mentioned him in the last break, but this is posted to Sam Cutler's Facebook page. And according to his post, this is an NBC News report on the show in 1973.
In Watkins Glen, New York, hundreds of thousands of young people gathered for an all-day rock concert. Estimates of the crowd have ranged from 300,000 to 500,000. Or as one person said today, it was 95 acres of wall-to-wall people.
Wow.
The one-day concert was called Summer Jam, and it was. There were jams in the roads leading to it. Some people had to leave their cars and walk in from 20 miles away.
Wow.
The concert was held at a Grand Prix racetrack. The music came from a number of rock groups, but the music was only part of the experience. There are reports of drugs being sold and used in the crowd and some bad trips like this one.
Are they showing someone?
Wow.
Smoking, yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Bad trips and smoking weed.
Yeah.
It's funny how square.
30 seconds in, they got to do this. It's like, we have to start here.
Yeah.
Right.
We have to. Look at these kids today.
They haven't shown one bit of music. They haven't shown the stage yet.
Right.
Ugh.
And they use the word jam as far as people being jammed together. And jam was for music.
Yeah.
The bands were going to jam at the end. It was not, it wasn't called traffic jam or people jam.
Seriously. Wow.
Oh, man.
That was one mistake I made. I should have, in some way, taken the word summer jam and trademarked them.
Right.
But so many concerts have now been called summer jam.
Oh, right.
We invented the name.
Right.
Wow.
We didn't even know if they were going to jam. We just gave it the name, and then we begged the bands to jam beforehand, and they said, we can't promise anything. You know, the Dead are going on at noon.
Yeah.
The Allmans are going on at 10. We don't know if the Dead are going to hang around. But we made it enjoyable enough, if you know what I mean, to make sure they hung around.
Right.
We created a big party backstage that they didn't want to leave.
No. So they all jammed together at the end?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Wow.
It was, to me, it was very important they did it. Looking back, it really wasn't that important. But we had called it Summer Jam, and I am a believer in truth in advertising. And I was very upset not getting a commitment from them in advance that they would jam.
Where were you when the band first went on, Jimmy?
Well, the band were the middle act. The Dead were the first act.
Oh.
The band were the middle act, and the Allmans closed the show.
Wow. Interesting.
And that was an issue in itself, too, because everybody felt the band that closed was the headliner. But it was really a co-headline situation. The band and the Allman Brothers, the Dead and the Allman Brothers really were the two headliners. They were co-headliners. But the Dead wanted to go on first. They really wanted to go on first. They wanted to open up the show, so it didn't become a real issue.
Just hang out that day. Yeah.
Look, I was everywhere.
That makes sense.
Literally
though.
Everywhere.
Right.
If you know there's going to be 600,000 people smoking up and tripping. You want to get to them early.
That must have been some cloud of Watkins Glen.
Yeah, right.
Birds were really hungry that day.
Yeah, they promised not to record their sets, and they all did.
Yeah. Because they forgot. They were wasted.
Well, we wanted to put out an album because the Woodstock album did so well.
Yeah,
so
why not?
Let's put out a Watkins Glen album. They said, no, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And then they all did it themselves and didn't give me any money for it. So
that would have been another pile of money.
I'll go find
the movie.
I'll go find them right now.
Can you imagine a movie?
I wanted a movie. The Dead wanted to produce a movie. And the Allman said, you can't produce a movie. We will have a third party do it. And the Dead wouldn't let a third party do it.
Ah, third party. So well, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure spending it with you guys.
And then a year ago today, another big landmark in your career.
Huge.
Yes. Yes. Post-pandemic, finally, because we had planned to open up 2 years earlier, actually, in 2019. But because of the pandemic... we moved it to 2021, which we opened up with the REO and Styx at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. And tonight is the anniversary of the first show.
That was a great
night. That's awesome.
And
that was
we'll
a great
return.
Night.
Yeah, it was great, and they're coming back because they want to come back.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I'll remember that night special. Forever.
Yep.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Hey, on year 50, we should have you and Shelley in studio.
That'd be cool.
You got it. No
we'll
problem.
Set it up. Maybe do a 2-hour thing.
We'll
play
get cake.
Some music. We'll get cake. All right, Jimmy. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.